Navigating the last few days of life for a loved one is impossibly difficult. We all need help in those moments, and we often turn to hospice care. Hospices are supposed to help in relieving pain and providing emotional and spiritual support, but two new government studies released just this morning find that the vast majority of hospices have sometimes failed to do that, and there's no easy way for consumers to distinguish the good hospices from the bad ones. Here's NPR's Aina Jaffe.
These studies are the government's first to look at hospice deficiencies nationwide. They found that from 2012 through 2016, health inspectors cited 87% of hospices for deficiencies, and 20% had lapses serious enough to endanger patients. Nancy Harrison, a deputy regional inspector general in the Department of Health and Human Services, recalls patients who had untreated bed sores or pressure ulcers on both heels.
And these ulcers rapidly worsened, and the patient developed gangrene and needed a leg amputation.
In the dry terminology of government reports, this is called poor care planning. And having plans of care developed in conjunction with the patient and his or her family is a fundamental requirement of hospice, says Harrison.
So when we discover that hospices are not doing them, there is reason for concern.
For example, there's the case of Karen Bishop Collings and her 85-year-old dad, Dean Bishop. Last winter, he was hospitalized for pneumonia. When he was transferred to a residential care facility to recuperate, he began receiving hospice services, which was a surprise to his daughter.
We only agreed to pre-assessment of his conditions to even see if he qualified for hospice or palliative care.
She shared some of her father's medical records with NPR. They verify her account. The hospice never held a meeting with Dean Bishop or the family to establish a care plan. So Karen Bishop Collings was shocked when hospice workers gave her father two new medications, morphine and the anti-anxiety drug Ativan.
We knew something distressing had happened. His whole physicality and mental capacity was completely altered.
If this hospice had previously been cited for deficiencies, Karen Bishop Collings would have had a hard time finding out. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, doesn't make that information available on its website for consumers called Hospice Compare, even though they have the power to post at least some of it, says Harrison.
We don't even think about booking a hotel without checking its ratings and reviews. So why do we demand less of hospices?
The reports also highlight the few options that CMS has for disciplining hospices. They can drop them from the Medicare program altogether, but they lack the legal authority to assess fines. It would take an act of Congress to give them that power. In response to the report, CMS issued a statement saying that the agency has zero tolerance for abuse and mistreatment of any patient, and that it has added consumer feedback to the Hospice Compare website. Nancy Harrison thinks that's not enough.
There are a lot of great hospices out there. There are a lot of highly skilled, committed professionals who are dedicated to helping others leave this life in comfort and with dignity. And the public should know about them.
The amount of money that Medicare spends on hospice services has roughly doubled since 2006. But Harrison says this isn't just a matter of taxpayer dollars. You're only going to die once, she says. It's important that things go right. Aina Jaffe, NPR News.